As Trevor said, he was away, busy, lots of things going on lately, particularly in the family. So he assigned us a task on the assumption that we're adults. We should be able to get through this without too much trouble. And surprisingly, I did. So Psalm 119, he said, oh, allow 30 minutes or so, you'll be right. And I looked at it and gone, 30 minutes, that couldn't do it justice. Anyway, just verses that speak to you. And straight away, verse 1 popped straight out at me. Joyful are the people of integrity. And I'm thinking, these are the people that we want to actually spend real time with. People with integrity. People who, when asked to do something or they promise to do something, you know they're going to. And when they ask something of you, it's no trouble. I'm thinking, people with integrity. So straight away, verse 1, I'm thinking, I'm going to spend half an hour just on verse 1. I don't know how I'm going to manage the rest of it. But I just couldn't help thinking, and I guess it was reflective of what may have been going on with me in the day, that one sort of spoke to me. Joyful are people of integrity. So I continued on from there looking for things which connected to me that day, because I knew on any other day it could be any of the other chapters. It's not, Trevor did ask us, can we, anything that sort of speaks to us on that day. So I got to verse 37. So turn my eyes from worthless things. For those of you who know me, I spend my time fixing things, and the amount of times something will come in and I'll think, this is just rubbish. I can't fix that. No, I'm sorry. But turn my eyes from worthless things. This is obviously reflective of what I was doing on the day. There were quite a few others that did too, but I'm only going to be here for a couple of minutes. But that one sort of stuck with me. And when I came back to it to as we got closer to our fortnightly meeting, that one still spoke to me. Turn my eyes from worthless things. And I think in today's disposable economy where everything is only passing, you'll buy it, you'll buy the cheapest one, and it'll be almost good enough for its purpose, and then you just throw it away when it's finished. One of the things that I like to think about is I like the old things. I like the old things that can be repaired. I like the old things which have lasted and have served good purpose. I like old things that with a little bit more work and a little bit of repair can actually continue to be functional the way they were intended to be. So that one, I think, speaks to me on a daily level. But the one that, as I got towards the end, and it was more than 30 minutes, by the way, just point that out, was verse 172. For those of you who know me, I'm a musician, have been a musician even before I could play music. I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to be to some degree entertainer of some variety. It's only been in recent years that I've decided that I can use what I have for a greater purpose, and that is to bring the word of the Lord. So verse 172, let my tongue sing about your word. And I'm very pleased and reassured that more and more I'm finding the opportunity to do just that. I have a lot of opportunities now, a lot more opportunities to sing of the word of the Lord. For the most part, the average person, they claim they don't want to hear it, but we know they do. If you just take the opportunity to weave that into either conversation, if that's your strength, for me, it's singing. So I look for those opportunities. But pretty much that was my reflection through Psalm 119. I know others had other verses that spoke to them, but they were the ones that spoke to me. Thank you.
Bless you, mate. That was great. Thank you. And Pete Turner is going to come and share with us. We always appreciate when Pete shares at communion and other times. So good on you, Pete.
Good morning, church. When Trevor asked us to look at this, you know, I thought, wow, this is so hard because it's just a treasure trove in Psalm 119, and there's just so many verses there that you think, oh, I just love those verses. So I sort of thought about it, and I thought, well, I remember when we was doing this Passion series, you know, it's about being a lover of God. And so I thought, well, firstly, I want to look at what really stands out to me as a lover of God, but what is relevant in my daily life? And so I come across a few verses, three verses, and in verse 47 and 48, it says, this is reading from the Passion Version, it says, my passion and delight is in your word, for I love what you say to me. I long for more revelation of your truth, for I love the light of your word as I meditate on your decrees. And that really speaks about me on a daily basis. I read the word every day, and I read it for revelation. And there's been a bit of talk this morning about revelation, so I think the Holy Spirit's flowing there. But what I love is when I read the word, you know, and just as the natural body needs food, so my spiritual man needs food, which is the word of God. And it needs that on a daily basis. It sets my day up, because I read in the morning. It sets my day up, and during the day I ponder what I've read, you know, and I meditate upon it throughout the day. And anything that I'm not sure of that, you know, I can ask God questions about, you know. Reveal it to me, Lord. Show it to me. And he always does. He always reveals it to me. And what I like about that is I'm not reading the word to gain knowledge. I'm reading it for life. And when you get revelation out of the word, it becomes a living word. And that's, you know, something that keeps my spirit alive. It feeds my spirit. So I just love that revelation that I get out of the word. And the third verse, can I find it? Oh, I'm going too far. Is verse 89. And it's this, in the Passion Version, it says, standing firm in the heavens and fastened to eternity is the word of God. And I really like that too, because what I got out of that was the word of God's the same today as it was yesterday, and it'll be the same tomorrow. It never changes, you know, and it's always there. And what I love about that is that it can work as like a plumb line. And so when you're not sure about what is the truth, because the word of God is the truth, you can take that thing or situation or what's been said, and you can align it up to the word of God and see if that thing is truthful or not. And so I do that quite often. And things that happen in the world, and they say, you know, is all right and those things, well, you can take all of these things and measure them against the word of God. And so it's just great to have that word there all the time that doesn't change. And you can really, what I find is I can really put my trust in that word. I can trust the word of God, and I make no compromise on it, you know. I don't justify the word of God, you know, to suit a situation or whatever. You know, what it says is what it says, you know. And that's good enough for me. And so I really find that, you know, as I walk through life, you know, I can look at situations by taking it to the Word of God and seeing what the Word of God's got to say about it, you know. And it strengthens me in that Word, you know, to say, right, I'm not ready to compromise on the Word of God, you know, because the world says, you know, this is the truth. But God's word says something different. So it holds me in good stead, you know. So I've just been delighted over about 4 years now. I've been reading every day. And what I find is on a rare occasion when I may miss a morning reading, it's like I go through the day and I'm lacking something, you know. I need that. And that's what I've come to understand, is that I really need that word of God in my life today, you know. And I love that word delight that it brings out in there, delight in God's word, you know. That's what I look forward to every morning, you know. I need it. I want it, you know. I want to get into God's word because I just delight in it. So that's the thing that I really got out of it. So that's it. There we have Ash Beer come up now, seasoned professional. We're mortal enemies today. As you can see, our teams are playing today.
Yeah. Always somebody who's got to bring the tone down, isn't there? Thanks, Pete. Thanks, Stuart. Actually, I thought the plan was for Stuart to read Psalm 119 and then we would have run out of time. So, but I do have short thoughts on my verses, and I sense the cynicism in the room, but... I am planning on being short. The first verse I had picked out was Psalm 143. Actually, it was a little bit like I went through, read through on the night, did the right thing, picked up about 8 or 10 and thought, I'll look at that a bit closer to the time. And then on Monday I realised, oh, that's tomorrow. I better look at these a bit more closely. And the two that I really came out with, verse 143 was the first one. It says, trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. And I love this, and it's particularly it was relevant to me, because you know, we do face troubles. We can't say that we don't have troubles in life, but we do face troubles, and yet the psalmist writing here says, regardless of the troubles, they won't shake they won't shake him from a love of God's word. And, you know, that's really encouraging, you know, that regardless of what happens, I'm not going to be shaken. I'm still going to love God's word. I'm still going to trust it. I'm still going to believe it. But then also, I sense there's, in fact, that a love of God's word, actually, it's what keeps us going in the troubles. So we have the troubles, and if we love God's word, we actually won't be shaken. You know, we won't let the troubles distract us from that, from trusting, believing his word. But that's what keeps us, stops us from stumbling, stops us from bringing us down when we face troubles, whatever they are, the things that challenge us. And the second one is verse 165. And I find that this is quite similar in some ways, which is why I really chose these two. There's a lot of verses that really come together, but these two I thought had similar message there. So verse 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. So the two things there, it says loving God's word brings peace. So especially if we have troubles, face challenges, well, the way to get peace, if we love God's word, we can have peace in that. And so we actually live in a place of peace. We abide in peace. It's not something that we just have sometimes, but we live in that place. But also it says that really a love of God's word protects us from sin, protects us from giving in to sin. You know, my mind went right back to the early days as a young man and first learning about the word and talking about things, you know, how can we stop from stumbling? And really it says there that it's the love of God's word, love of God's commandments. You know, we see throughout Psalm 119 the word commandments and the word law, but really all coming back to God's word. And if we love God's word, we have peace and nothing causes us to stumble. You know, so we won't stumble because of troubles and we won't fall into temptation. And just the final thought on that was about what I mean by loving God's word, because we see delighting and loving the word in those two verses. But, you know, it's more than just getting knowledge out of it. And I'm a person who I love to get things and find things. You know, I get quite into trivia at times. But loving God's word really is about, you know, it means, you know, we love reading it. We love hearing it. We love learning it. We love learning about the word. We love having the word speak to us, you know, even to challenge us. And we apply it to our lives. We do it. We allow it to change us. We obey it. And all those things are about what loving God's word means. And really, if I read those verses in the New King James, but Psalm 165, just the thought I had about it, really is summed up in the New Living Translation, where it says, "Those who love your law have great peace and do not stumble." So I could have saved a couple of minutes, couldn't I?
Great. Thanks, Ash. Now you know why it was such an inspiring night, and I just thought I had to get him to share. Chris Moore, he's not here today, and Chris wasn't there on that Tuesday night, but he gave me this, he sent me a text, said, "Sorry I can't make it, but this is my passage." So it's 169 to 176. We thought, a bit cynically, if you're watching this, Chris, we thought that maybe you gave us the last section of the chapter so you didn't read anything else and tried to make us think that you read it right through because you gave us the last verses. But we know that wouldn't be true, but I'll read it to you quickly and then we'll invite the music team to come up and have a final song this morning. "O Lord, listen to my cry. Give me the discerning mind you promised. Listen to my prayer. Rescue me as you promised." And then he's also very musical, and so there's one of the verses here that Stewie read for us. "Listen to my prayer. Let praise flow from my lips, for you have taught me your decrees. Let my tongue sing about your word, for all your commands are right. Give me a helping hand, for I have chosen to follow your commandments. O Lord, I have longed for your rescue, and your instructions are my delight. Let me live so I can praise you, and may your regulations help me. I have wandered away like a lost sheep. Come and find me, for I have not forgotten your commands." And it probably won't surprise you, but one of the ones I picked out for myself was verse 68, which we often refer to. It's spoken to me many times. It says, "You are good, and you do only good. Teach me your decrees." 151 just says this. It says, "But you are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true." You are near, O Lord, and all your commands are true. And verse 162, "I rejoice in your word like one who discovers a great treasure." Amen.